development disorders, sacral congenital masses, meningiomyelocele-enteritoma. A pregnant woman was admitted to the Department of Gynecology and Obstetrics because of lower abdominal cramps and threatening premature birth. Her pregnancy of spontaneous conception was regularly controlled. Worsening heart activity indicated cesarean section in the 30th week of pregnancy. The amniotic fluid contained meconium. The mother received non-steroid prophylaxis. The male newborn required positive pressure respiratory support through a mask, but eventually was intubated and received surfactant. His face showed minor development anomalies, such as hypertelorism and impression of the base of the nose. The external genitals were normal, however, feet were in varus position. No motion has been detected in the lower extremities in spite of manual pain stimulation. Anomaly screening revealed an elevated sacral crater-like mass during the course of pregnancy. The alteration was considered a lumbar meningiomyelocele. In agreement with the in utero performed ultrasound, the lumbar region revealed a lesion 8 by 9 cm in diameter, raising 3 to 4.5 cm above the skin level after birth. The mass was only partially covered by skin, with a surface covered by vascularized connective tissue. The premature neonate was treated at the intensive care unit due to respiratory insufficiency. SIMV respiratory therapy was initiated and the newborn received parenteral volume substitution. Following an external ear sampling and hemoculture, the newborn was treated with broad-spectrum antibiotics and became transitionally stable. Red blood cell transfusion was given as soon as the second day of life, later repeated several times. Coagulogram indicated the administration of fresh frozen plasma. Thrombocytopenia required immunoglobulin, later thrombocyte transfusion treatment on several occasions. Follow-up blood examination confirmed severe infection. The spectrum of antibiotic treatment was further broadened. Altered carbohydrate metabolism required insulin therapy. From day 5, the newborn required bolus volume replacement, circulatory support and administration of steroid to correct low blood pressure and consequent oliguria. In the second week of life, the neonate received intravenous ibuprofen treatment for a persisting bottle duct and its hemodynamic consequences. Antimycotic prophylaxis was initiated in the third week of life, later broadened with amphotericin because of fluconazole-resistant Candida albicansepsis. The neonate's condition gradually declined, and despite of supportive circulatory therapy, oliguric and anuric periods followed. The child developed bronchitis with catarrh. Suction of the nose resulted in thick exudate. His coughing was weak with substantial amount of catarrh. Scleroderma developed on the fourth week of life. The neonate became anuric on the 30th day of life. Besides worsening metabolic parameters, respiratory insufficiency appeared, which necessitated respiratory therapy. Despite administration of vasopressors agents, blood pressure gradually dropped and finally the neonate passed away. The final report indicated fungal sepsis as the direct cause of death, complicated with renal insufficiency, followed by circulatory and respiratory insufficiency. The autopsy revealed patent bottle duct despite drug-induced attempt of closure. Moreover, lungs were bilaterally affected by acute, bacterial bronchial pneumonia. The middle lobe of the right lung contained an abscess of 0.5 cm in diameter, which contained yellow-greenish thick fluid surrounded by thin connective tissue wall. The liver showed signs of fatty degeneration and congestion. Small 0.1 to 0.3 mm sized petechiae were visible in the white matter of the brain parenchyma around the lateral ventricles. Detailed checkup for lumbar meningiomyelocele and decision on the possible operative treatment was postponed to a later time point, until the neonate's condition improved.